layoffs at Cessna will be much larger than predicted. Diamond Aircraft lays off a quarter of its production workers in Ontario. And police say a pilot is on the run after attempting to fake his death in a crash. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 13, 2009. A U.S. Army UH-60 Black Hawk crashed immediately after takeoff from the campus of Texas A&M University during a training exercise yesterday. One person is reported dead, four others injured. On board were four members of the Army National Guard and one ROTC member who is a recent graduate of the university. None had been identified by last night. The Bryan College Station Eagle reports the helicopter began spinning as it attempted to take off. A witness told the paper the machine then dropped straight to the ground. Photos from the scene suggest it landed on its tail boom. Check back for updates during the day at aero-news.net. The Associated Press now reports Cessna will cut 2,000 additional jobs by March to meet reduced demand for aircraft. The report is attributed to an email to employees from the company's head of human resources, Jim Walters. Quote, "These actions are regrettable but necessary to ensure our long-term stability and success. As always, we remain committed to keep you informed of the processes and next steps as we work through this difficult time," unquote. Cessna will also offer another voluntary separation program. There's no word yet on how the layoffs will be distributed across Cessna's plants. Diamond Aircraft announced yesterday it's laid off 180 of its 684 production employees at London, Ontario, effective immediately. That's about a quarter of its workforce. The company says the layoffs are temporary. Company President Peter Maurer is quick to say, quote, "On the positive side, although private customer retail sales are currently weak, fleet orders for the flight training market remain strong with stable demand," unquote. Diamond says development work on its forthcoming D-Jet continues. Cirrus Aircraft has officially taken the wraps off its new known ice protection option for Cirrus SR-22 and Turbo models. Aircraft are available for sale now, with FAA certification for operations in known icing conditions expected in the second quarter. Cirrus uses TKS Weeping Wing technology in laser-drilled panels on the leading edges of wings, horizontal and vertical tail surfaces, and elevator. System status display is integrated into the Cirrus perspective panel. The system's fluid capacity of up to 8 gallons and pilot-selected flow rates allows de-icing fluid flow for up to 2.5 hours. Law enforcement officials in and around Alabama are on the lookout for Marcus Schrenker, the president of Heritage Wealth Management of Indiana. On Friday, Schrenker's company was ordered by a federal court in Maryland to pay $500,000 in damages, interest, and legal expenses to OM Financial Life Insurance Company after a finding that Schrenker and his company had repeatedly failed to pay back unearned commissions related to OM's insurance and annuity plans. The Huffington Post reports that Schrenker's wife, Michelle, filed for divorce on December 30th. Jim Gavin, a spokesman for the Indiana Secretary of State, said three of Schrenker's companies are under investigation by the state. Against that stressful backdrop, about 7:20 p.m. Sunday night, Schrenker was on an IFR flight plan from Anderson Municipal Airport in Indiana to Destin, Florida. He was recorded making a distress call over Alabama, saying one side of the windscreen of his Piper Meridian had imploded in turbulence and that he was bleeding heavily. Controllers tried to assist him over the next 4 hours, but got no response. Sometime after 11 p.m., presumably after exhausting its fuel supply, the plane crashed in a wooded, marshy area about 50 miles west of Destin, Florida. Fortunately, no one on the ground was injured. Responders found the wreck, but no body and, significantly, no blood. Meanwhile, a police officer in Childersburg, Alabama, came across a man Sunday night, uninjured but wet from the knees down, with what looked like aviation goggles around his neck. The man reportedly showed the officer a driver's license identifying him as Marcus Schrenker and said he'd been in a canoe accident. Police say they drove him to a hotel where he registered under a false name, paid for the room in cash, then fled into the woods. As of our deadline, Schrenker had not been captured, but a massive manhunt was said to be underway. Watch for updates on our website at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airlines achieve a notable safety milestone. AOPA beefs up its Washington staff, and an Illinois court blocks the O'Hare expansion. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? the flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 13th. I'm Paul Plack. For the first time in 50 years, U.S. Airlines have flown for 2 years in a row, 2007 and 2008, without one passenger death. Single years without fatalities have been rare, with only four occurring since 1958, making this two-year stretch even more impressive. The only major accident within that period was last month's crash of Continental Flight 1404, which ran off a Denver International Airport runway, and again, there were no fatalities in that one. Bill Voss, president of the Flight Safety Foundation, says improved technology, increased aircraft reliability, and better pilot training have contributed significantly to a reduction in airline accidents. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is seizing the opportunity represented by the changes in Congress and the incoming presidential administration to beef up its lobbying effort in the nation's capital. Lorraine C. Howerton has been named AOPA's new Vice President of Legislative Affairs and will work with AOPA President Craig Fuller and EVP of Government Affairs Andy Cibula to add some horsepower to the expected upcoming discussions on funding, research, and regulation. Fuller commented, quote, "We are fortunate to have Lorraine Howerton joining AOPA as the head of our Washington office. She brings great experience as an advocate to AOPA, and she has worked on transportation issues, most recently at a law firm already engaged by AOPA," unquote. Howerton has also served as Deputy Director for the Program Operations Division within the Department of Transportation's Office of Inspector General and spent 2 years as VP of Planning and Transportation Funding for the Air Transport Association in the 1990s. Of her new role, Howerton says, quote, "My goal is to convey how important it is to reserve funds for general aviation airports, navigation systems, and the National Airspace System," unquote. In a major setback for plans to expand Chicago O'Hare International Airport, the Illinois Appeals Court last week blocked the razing of the northeast part of the nearby village of Bensonville. As ANN reported, beginning in 2005, the city of Chicago forced 500 families out of their homes in anticipation of the $20 billion OMP, or O'Hare Modernization Program. The city wants to bulldoze the empty houses to clear the way for expanding the busy airport, but opponents of that plan, including current Bensonville residents who'd prefer not to have to move, cite the potential for severe consequences to public health if those old homes are torn down. Opponents of the expansion say FAA studies show the expansion will not provide any significant improvement in airline delays at O'Hare and will, in fact, produce massive delays and cost increases during and after initial construction. Bensonville Village President John Giles comments, quote, "The real story here is that OMP is nothing more than a $20 billion taxpayer-funded slush fund for politicians and their friends. The simple fact is that OMP is a runway to nowhere," unquote. Still ahead, Embry-Riddle attacks an aviation leadership void. A Gulf War pilot is still classified as missing for now. And a South African airline brings new meaning to the term airtime. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 13th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University Worldwide has launched a new center dedicated to developing future leaders for the aviation and aerospace industry. The Center for Aviation and Aerospace Leadership will collect and develop profiles on civilian and military leaders in aviation and aerospace, offer leadership assessments for individuals and organizations, deliver leadership development programs for both individuals and teams, and undertake a variety of efforts to meet the leadership-related needs of higher education and industry. Air Force Brigadier General Robert Mansfield observes, quote, "The challenges facing the aviation and aerospace industry today are complex, and there is a tremendous need for programs that can train and prepare leaders to meet these challenges," unquote. In a pleasant surprise for the family of a U.S. pilot who went missing in the first Gulf War, a Navy review board agreed that the government needs to do more to find out what actually happened before changing that airman's status from MIA to KIA. The family had expected a fight over the issue. In 1991, U.S. Navy Captain Michael Scott Speecher was flying an F-A-18 Hornet, the first U.S. plane shot down in the conflict. His status, initially listed as killed in action just hours after his plane went down, was changed 10 years later to missing or captured when a review board concluded there was no evidence of his death. There was also evidence suggesting he had ejected and might have spent some time in a Baghdad prison. The latest report in the case was released last fall by the Defense Intelligence Agency. It contained information Speecher's family believed would lead Navy Secretary Donald Winter to change Speecher's status back to killed in action. The family said it would oppose that finding. The Virginia Pilot reports the board's recommendations and the family's comments now go to Secretary Winter for a final decision. This next story is a nice change of pace from the NIMBYs we often wind up chronicling here. The city of Plainville, Connecticut, is trying to buy and preserve historic Robertson Airport. It now looks like 2009 may be the year they get it done. A favorable private study, significant community support, and federal and state funding are all coming together to make it happen. The Hartford Courant reports Plainville officials have reached an agreement with the airport owner, Tommaso Brothers Incorporated, on a purchase price of $5.8 million. Negotiations are underway for the additional purchase of an adjacent 25,000-square-foot hangar. Once that's wrapped up, the issue will be brought to a public referendum this year. The FAA has committed funding covering 95% of the cost, the state of Connecticut another 3.75%, leaving the city of Plainville to find less than $100,000 to close the deal. Plainville Town Manager Robert Lee said, quote, "They aren't making any more airports. The FAA considers Robertson as a critical acquisition. For the community, it's an opportunity to preserve a landmark. The city's purchase of the property is also seen as a victory by locals seeking to keep out land developers," unquote. Robertson Airport began its long history in 1911. That makes it Connecticut's oldest airport. It's named in honor of Stamford Robertson, a World War II veteran who renovated and updated the airport back in 1947. And finally, there have been a few unforeseen delays, but a new airline in South Africa appears close to launching a pricing scheme borrowed from the world of mobile phones. On Airtime Airlines, passengers purchase blocks of minutes called iFly Airtime, which can be topped up at any time. The value of the minutes can be maximized by purchasing a top-up when rates are lower. Flights are charged in minutes with a set number of minutes between cities. For example, a flight from Durban to Johannesburg is rated at 75 minutes. If you bought minutes at 5 rand apiece, or about 51 cents U.S., the flight would cost 375 rand, or about $38 U.S. As the airline's website explains, quote, "You can top up with iFly Airtime, then make a booking within 90 days, and fly within 365 days of your top-up," unquote. Unfortunately, the airline's intended start date of January 4th came and went without a successful deal to lease any aircraft. In another minor technicality, the government says it hasn't yet received an application for an operating certificate. So what will happen to people who've already bought iFly minutes and are watching their 90 days tick away? Fear not. The airline says if you buy minutes and don't use them by the deadline, they'll be converted into a voucher you can use for minutes on your cell phone. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, AOPA Air Safety Foundation's Bruce Landsberg previews the upcoming NAAL report on GA safety. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.